Millennials are struggling to buy homes in the UK.
Is it becoming increasingly a case where who your parents are is shaping your own opportunities in terms of home ownership?
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Lucy Burton. Good morning. New figures out in the UK today show that young middle-income earners have been locked out of the housing market. Just 27% of 25 to 34-year-olds own a home. That's a marked difference with their counterparts in the US, though, where millennials are driving the housing market. Andrew Hood compiled this new report for the Institute for Fiscal Studies.
Over the last 20 years in the UK, average house prices have risen seven times faster than the incomes of 25 to 34-year-olds. And so as a result, housing is increasingly out of reach for that particular age group.
You're an economist. What do you think should be done about it?
It is important to think about what the constraints are on house building in the UK and how the government and others can relax those constraints. When you expand supply and provide new houses to the market, you might want to also consider attempts to tilt the playing field in favour of younger adults in terms of the buying power they have in the housing market.
Whilst young people in the UK are struggling to buy, the reverse is happening in the US, where for many years millennials couldn't afford to buy houses, but now they're actually driving the housing market. Is there something that we could be learning here in the UK?
In some sense, the United States is a very different kind of property market, simply because the kind of constraints on space and land use just aren't the same as in the nation as a whole as they are in the UK. Property prices have flatlined outside London and the South East since the financial crisis, but they haven't fallen sharply. Our report suggests that those economic fundamentals really are key. What can we do to change house prices relative to the incomes of young adults, either by trying to bring house prices down or by other economic policies designed to boost the incomes of young adults?
Do you think your report tells us something else about inequality in the UK?
So one thing we did look at in the report is it becoming increasingly a case where who your parents are is shaping your own opportunities in terms of home ownership in this case or in other economic dimensions. The children of higher status parents do have higher home ownership rates, but perhaps surprisingly, the vast majority of the difference is explained by the earnings and education and other economic characteristics of the young adults themselves. For the moment, it's more that, you know, if you're the child of two lawyers, you've got lots of advantages in life which leave you in a better place to buy a house as a young adult, and less about the fact that your parents are directly kind of helping you out with a deposit or something like that.
Andrew Hood. Let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher across the globe. Japan's Nikkei rose 255 points, or 1.19%, whilst many markets in Asia were closed in honour of the Lunar New Year. In Europe, Spain's IBEX is up 100 points, or 1.03%. The growing economic and humanitarian crisis in Venezuela has led tens of thousands of residents to flee to the north of Brazil. Brazilian authorities are now declaring a state of social emergency to help cope with a high number of immigrants. The BBC's Julia Carneiro has more from Rio de Janeiro.
Around 40,000 Venezuelans have sought refuge in the north of Brazil, crossing the border into the state of Roraima. 10,000 arrived in January alone, seeking protection as refugees, temporary jobs, or desperately needed medical care. Local authorities haven't been able to cope and have asked the federal government for help. Declaring an emergency status will now allow more resources and troops to be sent to Roraima, where the mass migration is straining public services such as healthcare, public security, and education. Brazil's government says it is working to protect its population while addressing a grave humanitarian crisis.
Julia Carneiro. Intrepid commuters in Sweden have embraced the winter weather by skiing and ice skating to work. Volunteers plough around 50 kilometres of tracks a day to make the journey easier. Maddie Savage reports.
It's minus 22 degrees Celsius, minus 8 Fahrenheit, the kind of weather where you really can't feel your hands unless you've got gloves on.
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
So, my name is David Allenson. I use ice skate to work as often as I can. One of the biggest reasons we chose our house we live in now is because it's close to the lake and we can use the tracks to get to work really fast. If I didn't ice skate to work, I would go by car, probably as most of the people. Scratch the windows, you need to take away the snow, and you sit down in the car, which is cold, within the traffic. And instead of that, I can go half an hour on the lake.
Almost every morning for 4 months of the year, he zips himself into layers of waterproof clothing, topped off by two thin hats, a helmet, and of course his Nordic ice skates, which are 48 centimetres long. Then it's a 3.5 kilometre journey to the hotel where he works. Only around 20 people regularly use the tracks to get to the office. But thousands of locals a week click on their skates in their spare time and even during the working day. I'm now on my way to meet Cecilia Lindteg from the region's tourist office, which has also recorded a spike in both Swedish and international visitors keen to try out the tracks for fun.
Yeah, it has become like a new product experience. That you can come here just for skating is the main purpose for more people. Some of the hotels, they have a lot of guests during summertime and now they can be open also during winter.
The hotel where ice skating commuter David Allinson works is a prime example. He's welcoming hundreds of global tourists and business travellers this month, many from the Netherlands and Germany, who are desperate to experience the Nordic outdoor lifestyle. It is clear that David's passion for ice skating isn't just a commercial venture, but a way of life he wants to spread the word about.
Maddie Savage. Finally, are you a CFO who fancies a new job with white sands, sparkly seas and feathery pink colleagues? CFO stands for Chief Flamingo Officer, and a luxury resort in the Bahamas is now hiring. In London, I'm Lucy Burton with the Marketplace Morning Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.